Welcome to episode 97 of Practical Defense. More identity theft. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. We're going to talk a little more this week about identity theft. But before we get into that, I have a couple items of note. First, I'm running a defensive tactics seminar this coming weekend. It'll be on Saturday, October 17th. We'll cover the basics plus some really interesting conflict scenarios and gun disarms. Pre-registration is required for this class, so stop by my site, alexhaddix.com/class, and sign up. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm using Twitter more and more these days, and I will post links to interesting articles I come across, updates on my projects, and the occasional tip. For example, this episode is going online a day later than normal, but those following me on Twitter already know that. In the cool news category, Taekwondo Times magazine has selected the studio where I train as School of the Month for January 2010. The issue will be on shelves in December, and it will have a one-pager on the school and some pictures. I thought it was pretty cool. And some other good news. Well, I guess you could say it was good news. There were some problems with my website after the redesign. The menus weren't displaying properly in some versions of Internet Explorer. But with the addition of some code that's specific for Internet Explorer, the problem has been resolved. So my apologies for the inconvenience, and everything should be good now. And on the final note, I've added a link to the menu on my website for the Practical Defense forum on some message boards. The link will take you to the forum on the GRRN message boards that is specific to this podcast. Now, there's a lot of great information up there, so stop by and join the discussion. All right, we'll be back with some more information on identity theft.
New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg is bloviating about gun shows, blaming these congenial get-togethers as a source of violence in his city. Bloomberg evidently hasn't listened to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, which reports that less than 1% of guns used in crimes were bought at a gun show. Bloomberg might want to listen to the Anti-Gun Center to Prevent Handgun Violence, which surveyed large police departments and learned that less than 5% of cop shops felt that gun shows were a problem. Better yet, Bloomberg should put a chain on his local thugs and leave out-of-state gun shows alone. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Welcome back. I don't know about you, but I have seen tons of reports of identity theft in the past few weeks. I even received an alert from LifeLock about a new scam that's popping up around the country. I'll quote them here. A caller identifies himself or herself as an officer of the court and notifies the victim that a warrant has been issued for their arrest for failure to report for jury duty. If the victim protests they have never received a summons for jury duty, the scammer asks for a social security number and a date of birth to verify the victim's identity and cancel the arrest warrant. This fraud is spreading quickly and has been reported in 11 states so far. Now, I've said this before. Never ever, never ever give out your social security number or any number of value to anyone who calls you. There is no way to verify who this person is if they call you. The same scam is used for credit cards. Now, they'll call and they'll say, "This is your credit card company. There's been a fraud detected on your account. Please read us the number and security code so we can verify that the card is in your possession." These crooks use social engineering to get you to give up the numbers. They pose as people in positions of authority, and we've all been conditioned not to question authority. So they show up as the big scary and say, "Give me this information." And we hand it over. Or they show up on our doorstep, and we let them in. The case of the jury service arrest warrant scam, they pull out the two big guns, the court system, and a warrant for your arrest. So what you can do is thank them for the call. You know, you always want to be polite, and then ask them for some information. Things like the case number, the court that they're calling from, their name. Then tell them you want to speak with your attorney, and he or she will call the court back and straighten things out. You know, it's a bad sign if they can't or won't give you the information. Be firm. You want the information. Then you look up the court, and you call them. Now, don't ask the scammer for an office number and call them back at that number. That doesn't do any good. They'll just give you a fake number or their cell phone number. You look up the number in a phone book or the internet. I do this all the time. Whenever I receive an automated message from my credit card company about a fraud alert, I don't call the number they leave me. I go to my credit card and call the number on the back. If I get a call from a charity looking for a donation, I have them send me an invoice. I will not give them my credit card number over the phone. You know, they often complain that it costs them money to send a letter out, but I explain to them that I want to give them money. But unless they send me an invoice, it isn't going to happen. I refuse to give my credit card number over the phone to someone who called me. That's the important distinction. I must initiate the exchange. The takeaway here is that you need to stand up for yourself. Don't be a sheep. Don't sleep through your life. Wake up. Become aware of what's going on around you. Push back a bit. You don't have to be mean or nasty. You can challenge and still be polite. Just don't roll over for anyone and everything that comes at you. That is how you become a victim. Be assertive. Trust, but verify. There was also an identity theft case that made international news last week. The FBI broke a case where 100 people in Egypt and the U.S. were charged with identity theft. Just over half were from the United States. They didn't actually arrest everyone, but they named a bunch of people and issued warrants for their arrest. The ring brought in an estimated $2 million using spam emails. I'll put a link to the CNN article in my show notes, but if you followed me on Twitter, you'd already have the link to the article. Nudge, nudge. Identity theft is a big business. It's multinational. Organized crime controls many of the zombie networks and identity theft rings. The stereotype of the lone nerd hacker in his mom's basement is long gone. The best protection is my favorite word, of course, awareness. You know, standard safe computer practices apply here as well. Like, don't click on attachments received in email. Don't even open email from people you don't know. Don't follow links in email people send you. Run antivirus software. Keep the antivirus software current. You're only as good as your last update. If you updated it last month, it's as good as useless. It needs to be current. Trust your brain over your software. Just because your scanner says it's clean doesn't necessarily mean it's really clean. It could have missed something. So if it smells fishy, just delete it. In another case of identity theft ring, 22 people rounded up all over the country. They had collected over $2.1 million. So I'll quote from the article here in a couple of places. You can find the full article in my show notes and my Twitter feed. So here, quote. The people behind the scheme obtained the victim's information by a variety of methods ranging from corrupt employees at professional offices to stealing mail and picking pockets, according to an affidavit filed in the case. And further down, the ring drew the attention of investigators in September 2007 after a FedEx office in the Chicago suburb of South Holland, Illinois, refused to send packages sent by one of the suspects because they listed the shipping office as the return address. The man abruptly left the office, leaving the package behind. The package contained stolen personal checks, credit and debit cards, and forged driver's licenses, and military IDs, according to an affidavit filed in a federal court outside Alexandria, Virginia, outside Washington. Federal agents later found that similar packets were being sent to co-conspirators in several U.S. cities, including Washington, New York, Chicago, Illinois, and Miami, Florida. The co-conspirators would then withdraw money or write checks from the victim's bank accounts using the bogus documents, according to the affidavit. And then later in the article, Young, the lady who was caught, was carrying a fake New York State driver's license and Visa debit card, both in the name of Deborah L. Taverna, along with wigs she wore when cashing fraudulent checks. Forged military IDs? That should worry a few people. The Fed chairman of the United States got roped into this as well when his wife's purse was stolen at a coffee shop in Washington. So let me summarize here. Fed chairman Ben Bernanke's wife's purse was stolen in Washington. Her ID and whatever else she was carrying was bought or traded to this identity theft ring. The ring acquired other people's information by a variety of means, including people stealing or selling confidential information from professional offices, stealing mail, and pickpocketing. The information was sent around the country. They made out with an estimated $2.1 million. What really gets me is that this group also acquired confidential information from quote-unquote professional offices. What the hell does that mean? They never provide any detail in the article, but I know from other sources that not all employees can be trusted and will sell out their company or other employees for a profit. I know an attorney who had to lock his briefcase, his filing cabinet, and his office every time he needed to use the restroom because other people in his office would take his client information and case notes and sell them to the opposition. Back in the day, it was called industrial espionage. Today, it can also result in identity theft. A family member of mine just had his company, which is a large multinational corporation, sign up a bunch of employees for 1 year's worth of identity theft protection. The only thing the company reported was that the employees' private information was, quote-unquote, compromised. Over 2 years ago, the first episode of this podcast was the throwaway wallet. If you haven't listened to that episode in a long time, or haven't listened to it at all, go back and check it out. It's only 11 minutes long. Remember, please, that this was my first podcast, so please excuse any of the poor production quality. Since I posted that initial episode, ID theft has exploded and is as much a threat to your personal financial security as a mugger with a knife. These days, when you're robbed, you can suffer twice. The first is the immediate loss of the items taken from you. The second is when your identity is stolen at a later time. So seriously consider signing up with a good identity protection company. The cost is about $100 for the entire year. It looks like this is going to be one of those expenses we have to pay for the rest of our lives.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
Alrighty, in summary we have... Never give out personal information to someone on the phone who called you. Get their record or issue number, look up the customer service number on your own, and then you call them back. Be assertive. Just don't roll over for supposed authority figures. Always be polite, but challenge them. Trust, but verify. Identity theft is now an international business, often run by organized crime. Seriously consider signing up with a good identity protection company. And as always, don't forget to check out my monthly column on TaekwondoTimes.com. It's called Raising Awareness. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddicts.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe. Practical Offense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexaddicts.com. That's podcast@alexaddicts.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexaddicts.com.